So we're in chapter 19, 2 Kings 19. We're going to look at the first 18 verses. And I think there's, not sure how many there are, but I'll double that. And we've titled it, this is sort of like a part of the verse, but save us out of his hand that all may know that you are God alone. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which is over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the children of Edom, which were in Thalassar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hanna and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, you are God, even you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even thou only. And so here we go. So just the same first four verses. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard, he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that are left. These first verses demonstrate in type and shadow the way God's elect will react when we come to know that this is the day of the Lord for us, which is why God's judgments are upon us. Renting our clothes, and covering ourselves with sackcloth, as Hezekiah did, is a symbol of how we witness to this world with a broken and contrite heart, as we fill up what is behind of the afflictions of Christ. That time of affliction is typified by the words of Hezekiah, who states, "This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth." This is true. We cannot bring forth this miraculous birth of being resurrected in the first resurrection of ourselves, as Hezekiah reminded the people in type and shadow language. And yet, if we are blessed to be turned to the Lord, as we are humbled under his mighty hand, we will be exalted in due time by Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Revelation 11:3, "And I will be endowing my two witnesses, and they will be prophesying 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Romans 5:6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." 1 Timothy 2:6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And we are witnesses of these things. So in due time, God's elect and manifest knowledge will be made known. That testimony will come forth through the church, through the body of Christ. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, "Likewise the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That's really just another way of saying, of course, that when we operate in the measure of faith, and it takes a miracle, because Christ has to humble us and make us see that we belong where we belong for the strength of the body. So when God humbles us, we gain this strength when we take that lower seat, because the Lord will call us up, place us where we need to be for the strength of the body. Hezekiah sees and understands the somberness of the situation that they're facing with King Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and sends Eliakim, which is over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. We need to go to the prophet to hear the word of the Lord, so we can discern what God's will is in the matter. Going to the prophet is a symbolic action from the old covenant that reminds us that we must learn from each other the manifold wisdom of God as the Lord leads and inspires every joint that supplies. Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel you shall make your war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets." And Ephesians 3:10, "To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God in the heavens." Hezekiah, who is a type of Christ, sends three groups clothed in sackcloth: Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, as a symbol of how we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior through a process of judgment that humbles us to be as little children in our desire to learn. And speaking of learning, I did not think to look at these words. Gail brought this to my attention, but it fits so well. And when we consider those three sections, talk about the process of judgment. So we'll look at those three names. Well, one's not a name, one's a group, but they're three groups. Eliakim, which means God establishes, and we know what it says in 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So Eliakim means God establishes, is over, the king's house, symbolizing our role being about our father's business. "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Luke 2:49, "And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business?" Then the second name, Shebna, which means grow, is the recounter or declare, bringing forth the new and the old. Matthew, so that's Shebna the scribe. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe, here's the new and the old, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And then the third one is the elders of the priests symbolize the holy nation that we are becoming through God working in our lives. Exodus 19:6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There is a humility and hope in the statement of Hezekiah, who says, it may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that are left. Kiss the son, in other words. Don't take it for anything for granted. Telling us we don't just sit back and expect that we're a shoe-in for the first resurrection. Rather, we take action. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that are left, knowing that it is Christ who is working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, part of which is to lift up your prayer for each other, for the remnant that are left, via the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of promise that helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. So God knows what we need before we ask him, such a miraculous God that we serve, and he puts the prayer into our hearts. We only need to draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. Philippians 1:19-20, for I know, and this is a verse I was trying to remember one night, I couldn't remember it, this is the one. And this really just shows how we're connected through prayer, through the Spirit of God. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So that's how important our prayers for each other. And of course, the Lord's working that, but he wants us to know that we're integrated in this body through the fervent continual prayers for each other. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, our expectation is Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So according to my earnest expectation and my hope, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness. And where does that boldness come from? Well, it comes through are going boldly before the throne of grace and obtaining the mercy and the strength. And we can pray for boldness. We can pray for faith. We can, whatever we need, God says we are going to be, our sufficiency is in Christ and in his body that is supplying that need. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Christ is being magnified in the church through this relationship of prayer and through that hope that we have that is, of course, our hope of glory, Christ within us. Verses 5-7, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land. Isaiah was a major prophet of Hezekiah's day, and these words would have been very reassuring to the king, coming from someone whose track record was spotless in regard to not saying something that was presumptuous in his flesh. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. The message to King Hezekiah is just as relevant for the body of Christ today, that tells us not to fear what men could do to our flesh, but rather fear God, knowing that the battle is the Lord's and that he will take vengeance on all our enemies, which typifies for us the spiritual destruction of our old man within, which is certain to unfold as we look to Christ to accomplish this. We are all men and women of like passions, meaning all capable of all sin and not able to be anything other than what God has determined for us to become from the foundation of the world. And so Isaiah is used to encourage Hezekiah that he should be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, seeing it was for Hezekiah's sake that these things were unfolding, just as our trials are, so that we may learn of God's faithfulness through the storms. Psalms 107, verse 22, and let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with singing. Verses 28 and 29, then they cry unto Jehovah in their trouble, and he brings, this is of course after the storm or coming to the end of it, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. The miracle that God's love can produce in those who he is working with is so great and powerful that we don't even need to give thought in that day when we are persecuted to the extent that God has ordained for ourselves individually in this life, knowing it will never be beyond the measure we can endure, and that the Lord will always be with us in the midst of those fiery trials. It's not easy when you're going through them, but God says that we are to remember that. Think it not strange, because he's in the midst of that trial. What he does to Hezekiah's enemies is symbolic of what he does to our old man, who must be destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. This is what happens to our sinful nature within our own land, meaning our own iniquities will chasten us, and our carnal nature will be destroyed by the sword of his own land. The carnal part of us is being destroyed by God's word, the sword, which is God's word, and the new creation is profiting by the knowledge of Christ that quickens us. It's a spirit that quickens, of course. Jeremiah 2:19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken Jehovah thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord Jehovah of hosts. Elias was a man of like passions, as these verses demonstrate, and God used him as he did Peter to show that our flesh has nothing to do with being brave and strong in the Lord, but rather it is a work of God that is done by faith, and that boasting is excluded by the law of faith, a faith that of necessity must be perfected by being put through the fiery trials or much tribulation of this life that bring us to cry out to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them to their desired, unto their desired haven. Psalms 107, verse 30. So that's the end result of going through those trials and tribulation. He continually strengthens us through the trials. Then verses 8 to 13. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom you trust deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shall thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the children of Eden which were in Telasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hanna and Iva? Takes a lot. It's just like in sports, the trash talking, right? It's just, there's no end to it. But that's what Satan does. He tries to undermine our confidence by, as we'll read here, through reminding us of the bondage, the previous bondage, or what we may be struggling with. But it's nothing for God. Those giants in our land are there for our good. You cannot change the spots of a leopard. And so we see Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish, confirming that point of how the beastly nature does not go down easily and will continue to be proud and blasphemous right up until the end of our lives, which is why we must die daily and endure until the end in order to be saved. The king of Assyria represents that unwavering spirit of rebellion and flesh that is against the spirit and can only be destroyed through Christ as we die daily by being baptized into his death. And every time we read God's word, we want to naturally identify with Hezekiah. We want to identify with the good side of the pillar. But God has shown us, the elect, who are blessed to know, no, we're both sides. And by the grace of God, we are fulfilling the prophecy here of Hezekiah. But we're fulfilling the prophecy of Sennacherib at our appointed time. And we all know that. And that's the great blessing, to see both sides. And then the Bible comes alive for us. Sennacherib is a type and shadow of the God of this world, who is the prince of the power of the air, our former father, working in and influencing lives of leaders like Rabshakeh, who Hezekiah is the type of the elect, will more than a conqueror be over through God's power. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high. Nay, in all these things, all of these stories that apply to our relationship and our walk in the Lord, in all of these struggles that we read of, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2 Kings 19, verse 14 and 15. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, you are the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. All of the false accusations, the persecution, the reviling, and all manner of evil that was being spoken of against Hezekiah and brought to him at the hand of the messengers so he could read it, typifies for God's elect these verses found in Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The way in which we overcome those many persecutions is to cast our cares upon the Lord, or spread it before the Lord who cares for us. It is our fervent prayers that avail much, as we are raised in heavenly places in Christ, symbolized by Hezekiah, who went up into the house of the Lord, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Men ought always to pray and not faint, which is the example that Hezekiah, who was a type of the elect, was demonstrating for our sakes. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, Lord, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims. It was within that prayer that he acknowledged God's sovereignty, as we do, being blessed to know, well, type and shadow, because, you know, who knows what Hezekiah was believing. But we know that he was a king of Israel, and he was given that position of God. But the point is, he prophesied not unto himself, but unto us. So these words are reflecting that understanding of the sovereignty of God. It was within that prayer that he acknowledged God's sovereignty, as we do, being blessed to know this truth that is being reflected in these words. You are God. You are the God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Christ tells us of himself that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so we pray without ceasing and ask God to fulfill his will in earth as it is in heaven, which he has all power to do so. As the fit man of Leviticus 16:21 can and will do for his body that is represented as the scapegoat taken out into the wilderness. That is the only way the new heaven and the new earth can be made and the new Jerusalem received from above, typified again by Christ controlling another beast, a colt, the foal of an ass, that was ridden into Jerusalem triumphantly. If Christ is working in our lives, our trials are going to make us stronger instead of destroy us. The beast, the giants of the land, will be bread for us. That's what that means. Bread nourishes us. If Christ is working in our lives, our trials are going to make us stronger instead of destroy us. Our enemies will think we're being destroyed, and they'll be perplexed that we will get up and fall seven times and keep going forward by the grace of God. What will be destroyed is a sinful Adamic nature that must be put off so that we cease from sinning. If any man defile the temple of God, which we all do, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. First Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Christ is the only one who can set us free from sin, symbolized by his strength in taking the scapegoat and donkey where they were wont to go. John 21:18. And this is really saying the same thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked whither you would. And that was our sense of having free moral agency, which was strong delusion. And then when we mature, but when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry you whither you would not. When we know that the Lord's in control and that we are bound to the altar, and that's a blessing to know that, to rest in that. Christ is the only one who can set us free from sin, symbolized by his strength in taking the scapegoat and donkey where they were wont to go. Verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. We are learning one of the main reasons we have enemies in this section of scripture, answered in verse 19, which says that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you only. Romans 9:17. Is it just another way of saying that? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, in all the nations within you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth within us, within our earth and within the world too. Where am I here? Oh yeah. God's elect are being sacrificed for the world who are enemies of the cross. demonstrated by their love of the things of the world, called friendship with the world, which we can be, and we have to repent of when God shows us, no, you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. James 4:4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's not saying to us, therefore, you know, go live in a mountain and separate yourself from the world. No, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We're the light of the world, but God willing, we're not being affected. We'll be vexed for sure by the world. And especially as we near the end of the age, evil men will wax worse, causing the love of many to wax cold. But God willing, as the body of Christ, we will be strengthened and recognize what God's doing. He's allowing that coldness to form in the world, and he's giving us the power to overcome it through Christ. That friendship is our former conversation of Ephesians 2:2 that witnesses to us that we are naturally against Christ when a spirit is not ruling within our heavens. We are called to learn of God's love that makes it possible for us to love our enemies who serve us in their unbelief, not having been given eyes to see or ears to hear, which was all of us in our appointed time. Those who serve the living God are blessed to come into his presence and believe that he will bow down his ear and hear the prayer of his people. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We are given to believe in order to do the work of God, as we learn that his eyes are open to what is transpiring throughout the whole earth for our sakes. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. God knows what is in the heart of every man and hears the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. So God hears the words. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He heard the words, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that was all part of his sovereign plan. But as now today, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This blindness on the part of our enemies results in the persecution of God's people as they seek an occasion against the flesh and bones of our Lord. Of the Lord, of the church. And all this persecution is purposed according to the counsel of God's will that brings us to our wits' end in order to deepen our trust in him as we cry out to our Lord for deliverance that he alone can bring. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Verses 17 and 18, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. As previously mentioned in an earlier study of Kings, Satan tries to remind us of our days of bondage and sin that can so easily beset us, which was what Rabshakeh was doing when he boasted about all the nations that Sennacherib had conquered. And Hezekiah's acknowledgement of this truth before God typifies our acknowledgement as God's people that we understand that only God can make war with the beast. And if the beast is still ruling the roost, then Christ has not yet intervened to destroy that enemy. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Which is exactly what he's saying in type and shadow. And John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Sennacherib's casting of their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them, are actions that can be seen as what God does to us when we have our faith purified by fiery trials, even by the wicked who are God's sword in our lives. Every man in his own order will have all the works of his life tried in the fire. But for the elect, that day of judgment is mercifully upon us now. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and there's a verse that from our study, their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that reward, of course, is the first resurrection. If God is strengthening us to endure his chastening, blessing us to endure unto the end through Christ, then that is the reward of the elect. If any man shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, in the lake of fire. So all men will be saved, and each man in his order. It can't be any clearer than that. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And of course, the answer to that is what we just read. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech you, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even thou only. And that's the humble prayer of Hezekiah. He just wants to point this victory to the glory of God. And that's all we want. And that's what God's working in our heavens, bringing us to see that this glorious work of being more than conquerors through Christ is, of course, all to the glory of God. Only God can save us out of the hand of our enemies. And that is what we beseech him to do, as Christ did and was heard in that he feared. We are admonished to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what this impassioned plea of Hezekiah typifies for God's elect today. It is our desire to be delivered from Satan and against the powers and principalities that are working in the heavens of all mankind. God hears the cry of his people and will deliver them so that one day all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Acts 4:27, for of a truth, against your holy child, Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. And of course, it goes on to say, for to do whatsoever your hand had determined, his counsel from the foundation of the world. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, towards those who are being persecuted, like we read of here in Acts 4:27. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you shall have wars. Matthew 10 verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's, of course, a process. We are learning and learning. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 4:8. And just the connecting thought, you know, the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, because the world has been against Christ and his Christ. And if we suffer with Christ in that regard and we're given a strength, then this is the reward. There is a rulership there. Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. God sanctifies the church first, the body of Christ, who acknowledge the process of holiness that comes from God with three holies, which remind us of how we are to lose our life now in order to save the rest later through that process of judgment. Revelation 4, verses 9 to 11. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, another symbol of the elect, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Which brings us back to our title, O Jehovah, our God, save thou us, I beseech thee, out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Jehovah, art God alone. And answer study.